Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney and Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We had a tremendous week. It was a very exciting day for the people of the state of Michigan and the residents of Benton Harbor. On November 7, 2017, I went to the Michigan Supreme Court to enforce the Constitution. It was a slugfest. The Michigan Supreme Court was hammered Barron County Prosecutor Aaron Meade. Yes, the court, the judges hammered Prosecutor Aaron Meade. It was a bad day for him. He could not answer any question concerning Reverend Edward Pinckney and the 168.937. I mean, it was a real butt whipping. They wanted to know, where do Barron County draw the line? The problem is the Michigan Supreme Court normally rules in favor of the prosecutor to protect the corruption that exists inside the courtroom in Michigan. Even when the evidence is not there to rule in favor of the prosecutor, the Michigan Supreme Court normally rules in their favor anyway. But I can say this, and I can be proud, Aaron Meade, the prosecutor, got a butt spanking inside the Michigan Supreme Court. And you can see this by going to the Michigan Supreme Court, Pinckney versus the state of Michigan. I have already served 30 months in prison for a crime that I or anybody else that I know of did not commit. There was no crime committed. There is no such law as forgery on a recall petition under 168.937. They made it all up. The court is looking at whether a law used to charge me with forgery of an election document is a crime and a penalty. It cannot be both. It has to be one or the other. The issue is whether the court will be able to use the power of the Constitution to their advantage and change the meaning of the law to help the prosecutor. The statutory or contractual language in the law must be enforced according to its plain meaning and cannot be judicially revived or amended to harmonize with the prevailing policy of the Barron County Courthouse. The Constitution forbids this action. Any judicial revision or amendment of the plain language of a law involve a court impermissible legislating from the bench, and the law does not allow any judge to legislate from the bench. You cannot make laws sitting on the bench. The judges must function within its constitutional responsibility to act in accordance with the Constitution in its system of separating power by exercise only judicial power. If the legislature wishes to provide that forgery of additional election code documents can be prosecuted, it must provide this with the plain language in a statute, which they do not. There's no such thing as forgery on a recall petition. Doing otherwise is the role of the legislature and not the role of Barron County Court. Let the truth be told. Now listen to this. Let the truth be told. The structure of the election code must be read in a manner which each of these penalty provisions applies only when some other section of the code prescribes forgery or perjury or any other crime. It is presumed that the legislature has the knowledge of NCL 168.937, the law in which I was charged, when it was added language prescribing forgery from another law, NCL 168.759. It is well-established principle that the legislator is presumed to be aware of all existing statutes when enabling new law. It is the legislator damn another, which is important, that we got to make sure that we understand where we are at. You must make sure that you're doing the things that you're doing. And that's the way that we have to do this thing. We're fighting a war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. I tell you, we had quite a week this week. We packed the courthouse. People came from everywhere to hear it, to let them know that we're real. But, you know, even when you do good in the Supreme Court, it doesn't mean you're going to win. There's no such thing as justice here in America. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Let me give you an example. We went to the Court of Appeal, and they concluded that 168937 does create the offense of election forgery, that the prosecutor presented sufficient evidence to support the defendant conviction, which was me. The jury was correct instruction that the jury court did not erroneously admit other acts evidence. We therefore affirmed the conviction. That was the Court of Appeal. They had to be out of their cotton-picking mind. Let me tell you this. They said that Reverend Pinckney, even though there's no evidence that he did anything wrong, must have told somebody to change the date on the recall petition. There's no evidence to support that. None. But yet and still, this is how they get away with stuff. This is why you got so many people in prison today that's innocent, and nobody seems to care. We have to do what we need to do in order to make things happen. You see, because when it don't concern you, normally you don't care. But it's me today and you tomorrow. So we need to take a stand against this corrupt system, whatever it takes. And remember, the United States cannot win a guerrilla warfare. We have never won one. The North Koreans spanked them. The Vietnamese, the Viet Cong spanked them, slaughtered them. It wasn't even close. Chemical warfare on people who didn't have nothing but sticks, bottles, and handmade guns until the Chinese started supplying arms to them. Afghanistan, spanking this country. This country would never win another war, whether you like it or not. This is not one country that has, God has nothing to do with the United States. This is an evil, wicked country. Evil. Anytime that you say it's okay to sexually assault a woman, I got a problem with that. You know, everybody should have the right to do what they want to do. You have no right to sexually assault any woman. We're going to hear a story about a woman who was being assaulted in the army today. We're going to hear about a man who convicted Mr. Victor himself of a crime that he never committed. You're going to hear about a program where a young man is trying to help the city of Benton Harbor. It's a great idea, but I don't think this country is ready for it. Anything that's going to help the people, they're definitely not for it. But we must learn to stay focused and understand exactly what is going on. I got to bring in my first guest. My first guest is going to be, let's take a look. Let's try. Mr. Frank, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, good to be with you.
Oh, Dave, absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I just enjoyed listening to what you said, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, our system is broken, it's corrupt, and it needs to change. And I don't think the politicians are going to change it. I think we, the people, have to change it. And,
oh, absolutely.
And I saw what they did to you, and I think you were a political prisoner, just like probably hundreds of thousands of other people. And we can't sit back and allow this system to keep doing this to us. And what we need to do is not rely on the politicians to come up with a better plan for America, but we, the people, to come up with a better plan for America. And I think we have it. And I appreciate you allowing me to be on your program tonight so that I can share this with your audience.
Absolutely. Dave, I got to tell you, you know, it's a tremendous program. And but we're living in a country that doesn't really want to do anything for the people. But we don't get that yet until it's our turn. You see, they really don't want to do anything for the people. And I got to tell you this. We got to change. Dave, tell us the story.
Yeah, you know, we're relying on the politicians to fix our country, fix America. And, you know, really, when you look at the profession of politics, it's got a pretty horrible track record. If you go back a couple thousand years ago, it was the politicians that actually killed Jesus Christ. It was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And nothing has really changed since. But we live in a different world today. We live in a world where God has blessed us with the miracle of communication technology. I mean, yeah, right now, you and I have the opportunity to talk to thousands of people using this technology that's now available. And, you know, our founders, even though they, you know, had some problems, they did leave us with a couple tools that we need to draw from. And one of those tools is the Declaration of Independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, it was said that it's not only our right, but our duty to change the system when it gets this bad. And I'm sure your listeners would agree with all of the problems that we have in America, that it is really, really bad. In fact, you know, I'm 69 years old right now. I can't remember a time where we were ever this close to World War III. And that's what the politicians have done. They are close to exterminating the human race as we know it. But we need to change, and America is the place for it to change. So this is what the plan is. Right now, you know, we live in the communication age. We live in the age where, you know, we have the travel channel, we have the food channel, we have the sports channel, we have all these different channels. But we don't have the most important channel. And the most important channel in our community is the local issues TV, radio, and internet channel. And that's the channel where in your community you can stop relying on the politicians who are in the back pocket of Whirlpool and other corporations that control them. They don't represent the people in your community. They represent the corporations that bribe them in your community. That happens in communities across the country, and we all know it's happening in Washington, D.C. But what we now need is the local issues TV, radio, and internet channel. And what we're doing is we want to use our local public broadcasting station. I'm here in South Bend, Indiana, and you'll be able to use this same tool in Benton Harbor. We want to use our local public broadcasting station as our local issues TV, radio, and internet channel, and let the people in our community start coming up with ideas to make education better, environment better, a better tax system, a better health care system, ways to fix the broken and corrupt judicial system, ways to fix the broken and corrupt penal system. There are people in your community and my community right now that have ideas to make these things work in our community, and we can no longer rely on the politicians because, once again, we know that they're bought and paid for. Jesus said it'll be the truth that'll make us free, and we know that the only reason that you would ever bribe a judge, a juror, or a politician is to make the wrong decision. And when he said it'll be the truth that'll make us free, we have the technology today to give each and every person in our community a real and equal voice on the issues affecting their lives. That's what Martin Luther King gave his life for. He gave his life so that we could all have a real and equal voice, and that's what this does. So we're working with our local public broadcasting station, and we're working at changing the format from Antique Roadshow and cartoons and 60s music to local issues where people in your community can present their ideas. We can debate these ideas because we want people in the community to be educated on these different ideas. And then you'll be able to vote with any touchtone phone. You know, we're voting on American Idol. We're voting on Dancing with the Stars, CNN, Fox, whatever it is. And you'll be able to watch these issues over your local TV, radio, and internet channel. And then any issue that you're interested in, you'll be able to vote with any touchtone phone. You'll call a local number. It will go into a community database. It will have your ID number and PIN number. Ask you what issue number you'd like to vote on. Press 1 for yes, 2 for no. Count your vote. Block you out from voting more than once. And we can now have decisions in Benton Harbor made the way our founders wanted them to be made, of the people, by the people, and for the people. And one of the reasons I wanted to do your radio program is because we need the people in your community and our community to stand up together, just like Martin Luther King did. He didn't rely on the politicians to change America. He relied on the people to change America. And that's what we need. But if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. We have an excellent plan, but what we need is the people to stand up with us and demand an equal voice.
You know what, that is tremendous, you know, and you and I have went over this plan, and it will work, you see, and that's why that we will have problems with the establishment, because they don't want anything that would help the people, you see. And, you know, you said something really good about Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King, even when he was confined in the Birmingham jail, you know, he wrote statements. He challenged everything, you know, and I love that letter from Martin Luther King. But now we have technology that can get people in the community moving, and that's what I'm looking for, Dave. Dave, I tell you what, can you sum up everything? You got about 2 more minutes to speak, and I got to bring in my good friend Ed Billings from Colorado. Because I got a lot of people coming in, but I'm going to give you a chance to speak whenever you want to talk or tell your story, because, you know, we're over 100,000 people going to hear this, going to hear you.
Okay,
today.
Thank you, Reverend. Our website is www.onevoicenow.org. Check out the video, check out the problem and solution page. It is the blueprint that you need in your community to get busy and start relying on each other to start fixing your community. You know, in our community, for example, we have 267,000 people, and we're using 9 people on a city council to do our thinking for us. It's a brain-dead system. What this system will do is it will use your local public broadcasting station as your new local issues TV, radio, and internet channel so that we can fire up all these brain cells, we can all start working together, and we can all start rebuilding America from the ground up, community by community. I hope your listeners like it. If they ever want to be in touch with me, get in touch with Reverend Pinckney, and he certainly has my phone number.
And Dave, I want to thank you so much. And I mean, this is something. And you know, you've been working on this for several years now. And it's, and like you said, you know, like was it Dancing with the Stars? They use this method. Different things. Different people use this method. And I believe it'll stop corruption inside the voting booth.
Oh, absolutely. That's why the politicians hate it, and they fight it tooth and nail, and that's why we need the people to stand up and demand it. Every politician that's ever ran for office recently has used 2 words, Transparency, accountability. That's exactly what this communication technology gives to your community. They don't want it. You've got to stand up and demand it.
Absolutely. Dave, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate you. I want you to hang around and listen to some of the other people, because they have a story to tell, and we may be able to connect some way with them. Please hold on, would you please? And
sure,
I want to bring in my good friend Ed Billings from Colorado. One of the things that we need to know, homeless people all across America are refusing to disappear, cast off by the economy, vilified by the news media, and targeted by the police. They are still standing up to fight for what is right. My good friend, Ed Billings. Ed Billings, are you there?
Yes, Reverend, I'm here. Yes, what's happening here in Colorado Springs is there are realtors out of Denver buying apartment buildings and increasing the rent to ridiculously high rates, to rates that where people who have been paying rent there for years cannot afford. My apartment building is no exception to the rule. There has been a real estate company known as Denver Realty Group bought my apartment building and basically told us they want $1,300 per month to rent that building. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, and what I've also learned is there, right behind the apartment building where I live, there's a senior citizens building. Some of them have been there for years, some of them on Section 8 housing. They said the people who bought that building, also out of Denver, said they want all the people on Section 8 housing out of the building. They hit another senior citizens building here in Colorado Springs and are evicting them. This is something real. I do not know if I will be out on the streets or not, which is of no consequence in this issue, because even if that does happen, I will continue fighting, sir.
Absolutely. And tell me, you know, see, what's happening is gentrification. I was in New York recently, and these buildings, these are basically projects that they have converted into condominiums, and renting them for $3,000 a month. Can you believe that? And here down in Colorado, I can imagine how much they're going to be charging, because it's all over the country, Ed.
Yes, sir, I am aware of that, and Colorado Springs is no exception. And let's there's been a lot of people who've looked at looked at Colorado Springs on postcards and decided it, and thought it was beautiful, wanted to live here. Well, guess what? Don't let those postcards fool you. There is gentrification going on here. Denver Realty Group is responsible for that gentrification. They have attacked my building. They've attacked another building. There are more realtors coming down, buying up apartment buildings. And what this gives me the idea of is they want to kick the people who do not fit into their society out on the streets. And what I foresee as this continues is you're going to see the homeless population double in size. And this does not look good.
Mm. Ed, it looks like the rich is beginning to get richer, it appears, now under this new president that the people have.
Yes.
It looks like
yes.
Now is the time where here's my question. What do we do, Ed? How do we stop them? What is it going to take to stop these people?
It is going to take, in my opinion, it is going to take people standing up together. And it's, as far as what's happening in Colorado Springs.
Ed, you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up just a little bit.
By this.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to stand up together. It's easier said than done. I think the country's to stand. It's going to take people standing together, marching. I don't think changing politicians is going to do it, because we have put our trust in politicians, both Democrats and Republicans. It's not going to, these politicians are not going to change anything in our favor. Like first caller said, it's going to take the people standing up and fighting for this. And history should have proven that to us time and time again.
And, you know, Ed, I'm with you 100% on this. It's going to take the people. And, what confused me is this. The way they have things set up today is designed to depress you, first of all, because even when you work at a job, probably about 65%, 66%, 67% of your earnings mostly go to taxes. They tax everything. They tax your telephone. They tax your electricity.
Absolutely.
That you use. They tax your gas that you use. They tax everything. Then you got to pay rent out of this money. You go buy gas at the gas station,
and
they taxing that. You got gas in your house, they taxing that.
And this
you go to
is
the
designed.
Store, in some areas, they tax you, tax your food. They tax everything that you do. There's nothing you don't do. You got to get a license plate on your car. You got to get a sticker on your car. Everything they do, they're trying to drain the poor people. And they don't want to pay $15 an hour. Can you believe that, Ed?
Oh, yeah. People who are making even $15 an hour are not as able to make and meet as that money was able to do years and years ago. I mean, really, if people that are making $15 an hour, it would take $30 an hour to get them in the clear. Employers don't want to pay that. Employers don't want to pay that. A lot of your employers don't want to pay that. And, of course, your realtors, like Den Realty Group in Colorado Springs, I mean, that in Denver, that came into Colorado Springs and bought these buildings, they don't care that the people living in this building are working jobs where their salaries are not going to be able to afford $1,300 a month. And on the other thing is that if you look at the building that they want $1,300 a month for, it is not worth that. Not worth that at all. You know, this realtor named Ryan, who's running the buildings, said, "Well, what do you think needs to be done?" I went on to Denver Realtor Group's Facebook page, and I told them that your best bet is to ask for your money back and invest it in areas like Rock Rimmon and the Broadmoor. That way you'll be able to get the class of the people you want. And the reason I say that, and I'm sure they're not stupid, and I'm pretty sure somebody from Denver Realty Group is listening into this, you can't go in the neighborhoods where people who don't make a lot of money buy up the buildings, expect that they're going to pay money for rent that they do not have, that they do not earn, that they do not get in the net pay. Okay, people have got to be realistic. A lot of people came to Colorado Springs because it was, you know, there was a time it was friendly, and of course it's quiet at night, not bad for a city of size. But guess what? That is starting to disappear, and these realtors are going to turn Colorado Springs into a high-priced ghetto. That's really what they want. Mm. Even when they start charging them, okay, they're not going to fix anything in the buildings. They're going to use that money to make a profit, and they might sell it the next year, or if even if the building gets condemned or something like that, they can write it off as a tax loss. But what do they care?
Wow.
While all the people living in that building, some were forced to maybe take out high-cost loans to get someplace else or
that's
work.
That's amazing.
Homeless shelter.
Right. Ed, you got 2 minutes.
On the street.
Tell us who these people are that's doing this. That's what people need to know, so we can put them on blast. tell us the people that's doing this to your community.
Oh, absolutely.
And how can we get in touch with them?
I do know
them
for sure. Okay, yes, Reverend. I will email you that information. I didn't even think about it.
Okay, well, if you know,
look,
and then
an
if
email
what
I've
you can
sent,
do, you can email it to
you
me,
will be,
and next we'll send out a call for people to call these people up and tell them, ask them,
sorry?
What are they trying to do? You still there?
Absolutely, Reverend. In fact, I will let you go.
All right. Yep. Well, Ed, I got to move on,
Ed. I'm at
the
public library right now, access to a computer. I'll get on. Yes, I will get on
all
there,
right.
And I will email that to you right now.
And thank you so much for the cartoon.
And thank
you
for having me, Reverend.
And if you happen to come up with the address before 6 o'clock, if you call me back, I'll let you tell us who they are. You got me? All right, Ed.
Okay.
Ed,
okay.
Ed.
I'm gonna email to you right now, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. That'll work. All right, my brother. I will talk to you very soon. Let me bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. My girl, talk to me.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney. I am really enjoying your show today. And
well, I tell you something, Belinda Brown. We had quite a week this week. You know, we also passed the income tax, which was such a tremendous. Jeff Knowles and his gang, they flooded the community with, you know how they do they put these ads out on ESPN. They even had an ad on Oprah show and ESPN, BET. They flooded the community. They had signs. They had so many signs. It's probably going to take them a week to pick up all the signs that's all over the community. And
wow.
We thanked them good this week. We put it on all that income tax that we've been trying to pass, finally passed this time. And they had Brian Joseph out there trying to sway me. Don't get food. Look, don't get food, people. Don't get food. Don't be fooled by this. Y'all, you know, y'all fooled for voting yes and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they had a couple of white folks working the polls for them. They it was going down, you know. And on that same day, I had to go to the Supreme Court. We went to the Supreme Court. We gave them a good spanking, but that don't mean nothing we tore them up, but that don't mean nothing because they usually try to rule in favor of the prosecutor anyway. So, but I'm happy just to be there, and my plan is to go further, take this thing to another level. But that's enough about me, Belinda Brown. Talk to me about you.
Pastor Pinckney, I'm excited about all the great things that you're doing, and the people voices are being heard, and you know, they can't stop you. I don't care what they try to do to block you, but they sure can't stop you. And that's what it's all about, Pastor Pinckney. You know, I'm here to tell you that I was excited by listening to what your caller Dave was talking about, and he's absolutely right, you know. And I know that, you know, they don't intend to do anything, you know, that's going to help the people. And that's the reason why we got to stop going to, you know, to them, looking for them, you know, looking for help in all the wrong places. We got to do it ourselves. And, you know,
what
Dave was talking about is using, you know, our methods and social media and our, you know, coming up and, you know, our own Woody invention and tools and stuff that we can use to get done what we need to get done and stop them from doing the things that they've been doing and getting away with forever, Pastor Pinckney. And I know for a fact, you know, once we come up and do the things that, you know, come up to the reality, we're coming to the reality that these people don't intend to do anything for us. we're going to have to do it for ourselves. And when we got somebody that, you know, that was talking the talk that Dave is talking, you know, for one voice, for all the people to come together, and we can demand transparency and accountability from these people, then that is what we can do. We can do this, Pastor Pinckney. We can do this. We can start one community at a time.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that so much, Belinda. I believe that we can win this war if we start thinking positive about what we need to do. And it may not even happen in our time, but here's the thing. At least we're standing up for the future of our children and our children's children. I think that's what the past generation dropped the ball because they got too comfortable. You see, they think they're doing better than what we are. You know what? If I'm doing good and my neighbor not doing good, there's a problem there. You see,
we have to make sure
that we're doing all the things that need to be done.
And that is so true, Pastor Pinckney, and that's the reason why I appreciate people like you, you know, because you know we're doing it down here in Louisiana, and I can't wait till you come down here and join us and be a part of the great movement that's taking place here, because my whole motto is to make Louisiana be the example for the whole world to see what will happen when people stand up and fight back and do what we have to do to help ourselves. And I'm looking forward to that great day, Pastor Pinckney, when you come down here and grace us with your presence and be a part of this awesome movement that's taking place, you know, because when we talk about the fact that they don't intend to help the people, that is a fact. We got the people right now, Pastor Pinckney, I'm going to tell you, the politicians feel as though they can do whatever they want to do, and no one's going to hold them accountable. No one is going to say anything about it, you know, and then we got the people that talk about it and know about it and don't do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the type of attitude that they have. That's the reason why we can have people that can get in office, say what they want to say, do what they want to do, and get away with it.
Absolutely.
So all of that is going to have to change.
Absolutely. And here's another thing. You know, nowadays, these folks don't have no morals no more. They don't.
Right. That's it right there.
And look, I'm going to tell you this real quick, then I'm going to let you finish, because in Barron County, at the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Bailey and his board, over 50 women have been sexually harassed. Not one of these jokers have went to jail. One guy they be waiting for these women when they get out of jail and to have sex with them and with their uniform on and everything, and nothing goes on. I mean, it's
right.
And then you got this guy, Roy Moore from Alabama, attacking his little 14-year-old girl. He's like, I'm 16 and 18. I have not done that, and then we still going to support him. What? I mean, what
the
kind of mess is this?
The worst thing, Pastor Pinckney, listen to what they said. He was previously a prosecutor, okay?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
He was a prosecutor and took advantage of these young girls. And here in St. Tammany Parish in Louisiana, we had a sheriff that molested before he became sheriff, he was a school bus driver. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now listen, people. I want everybody to hear this. He was a pedophile. So he gets a job driving a school bus with little kids on it. He molested these kids on the school bus. A 13-year-old girl came forth and told her story. And we raised the money for her to have a lie detector test. And the lie detector test came out 99.9 that her story was true, that the sheriff molested her when she was 13 years old. Mm. And we put him out of office, and now we're getting ready to have him indicted and put in prison because it's wrong, Pastor Pinckney. But he stayed in office. He stayed in office for almost 2 decades. No morals, no values. And you are absolutely right. They're so wicked and evil and corrupt. So they just think they can blatantly do whatever they want to do and better not nobody do nothing about it. But it's a new day, Pastor Pinckney, and everybody that's not awake, they need to wake up because it's a new day. We're not going to tolerate this kind of foolishness no more. We're going to put these people out of office. We're going to put them in their place, and we're going to let them know that the courts and the courts belong to the people. Anytime they can come, Pastor Pinckney, I'm going to tell you, my blood boils every time I think about the fact that they can put a man like you in prison for nothing. My blood boils when I think about that they can put a man like you in prison for nothing. Those people were so wicked and corrupt and evil until their day is coming, Pastor Pinckney. They're going to have to pay for what they did to you. And I don't care what nobody say, it's not going to go away, you know, because of the fact that it's going to change the world on how these de facto kangaroo courtrooms operate when they think they can sit on the bench and make up their own laws as they go. And put a man like you in prison?
Well, you know what?
We're going to the Supreme Court. We go to the United Nations if we have to. These people going to have to be exposed for what they did to you, Pastor Pinckney.
And absolutely, because they make up things to get things done, like the Court of Appeals said, even though we don't have no evidence that Reverend Pinckney did anything wrong, he must have told somebody to do it. I mean, there's no evidence to support that, but yet they can get away with that. Do you realize the people that's in prison today, how many innocent people that's in prison today? It doesn't make sense. But I tell you this, Belinda, something is about to happen. And if things don't change, because this is the system, you know, it's the whole darn system. That's the problem. But we too busy fighting with each other to fight the real enemy.
Right.
You see.
And we too busy going looking for help in all the wrong places when what we need to be doing is uniting and coming together. And I know it's happening, Pastor Pinckney, because I know you moving and shaking and you bringing people together. Some people are still, you know, they still kind of blinded to the fact that you know, their eyes haven't quite yet came open. But I'm here to tell you, the people that are listening today to your show, Pastor Pinckney, they know that we are on the move. We coming like a freight train. Ain't nothing going to stop us. I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, we're going to change the world because everybody is fed up with this foolishness. You know, we got people right now that is, you know, all this party stuff, Republicans, Democrats, all this stuff that got people all confused and all. People is tired of that because they're playing with people's intelligence now. People is not ignorant to the fact that they don't care nothing about the people. All they want to do is line their pockets and be selfish and be, like you said, immoral, you know, corrupt. Because that's what most of them are, is corrupt, a bunch of liars and thieves, okay, and want to make decisions on the behalf of us that we don't have a clue about what they're doing until they do it to us. It's not going to happen anymore, Pastor Pinckney. People are not going to put up with this anymore. We're not going to allow them to continue to do what they want to do. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest sign right now is what's happening in our government right now. That's the greatest sign that the people are rising up. The people are rising up, and they saying enough is enough.
Amen. And you know what I got to say is, Belinda, you got about 2 minutes. I got to bring somebody else on, but I'm going to let you talk. You tell us, what you want people to know, but you only got 2 minutes, so remember that.
Well, I want people to know that how much I appreciate, you know, people like you, Pastor Pinckney, and that, you know, it's an awesome thing that you're doing. I know that God have inspired you, you know, gifted you and anointed you to do the things that all the stuff that you've been through, you know, it's all, you know, for the sake of the movement and to help the people, to let people know that it's help and hope out here for them, and that all we have to do is come together with one voice, is to unite. It's time to come together. It's time for all of us. All, I don't care. It's not about black, white, Republican, Democrat. It's not about that anymore. It's about our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and what we want our future to look like, Pastor Pinckney, and how we want to get rid of these corrupt people that's been running this country forever. It's time out for them. And I thank God for you, Pastor Pinckney. And I'm looking forward to you coming down here to Louisiana so we can stand together and let our voices be heard.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Belinda. I tell you, it's like I said, you know, you can spread the word that Benton Harbor is waking up. Benton Harbor had a major, major, major victory with the income tax. And the bad part about it, all the businesses around here is upset about it, but they got to stop paying tax. Nobody pays taxes in Benton Harbor. Nobody. I can't see how whole you can have a city with nobody paying taxes, a business-wise. Nobody's paying taxes in the – I mean, there's not a business in Benton Harbor paying taxes. And because
now they've been riding the back off of the poor. That's what it is, Pastor Pinckney. You know,
right.
It's almost
that's
like,
right.
You know, long as they can jump on the poor, on the back of the poor, they don't have to pay taxes. And
that's
that is,
right.
Like you
Amen.
Said, you changed that Benton Harbor. Hooray to Benton Harbor. Hooray to Reverend Pinckney with the with the movement that's going on in Benton Harbor. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, if Benton Harbor wake up, I know the whole world gonna wake up.
and you said it, and look, you be proud of the people that lived in Hot Harbor Towers, because look, they, you know, those are my folks there in Harbor Towers. They walked. Look, and it was a cold night. It was cold. They walked, and I was so proud of them. If the girl calls you, I almost had tears in my eyes. Listen to her telling me,
wow,
she had to vote. She said, I had to vote. She said, about 8, 9 of them went together. She said they made sure everybody in the building went out and voted. And they went and knocked on people's doors. I said, man, I love that.
That's a perfect example, Pastor Pinckney, because if the people in Benton Harbor is voting, and I'm here to tell you because I live there, I know, if they voting, I know that is a sign for the whole world. Everybody is going to vote. Everybody going to get out and vote these people out, because Benton Harbor, I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, you know how bad it was there. We couldn't even pry the people out to vote with a crowbar.
That's right. That's right. All right, Belinda, I got to leave you, girl. I tell you, I got to bring Maurice. I got to leave my good friend Belinda Brown, and it's time for us to talk about Mr. Victor. Maurice Williams, are you there? Talk to me.
How you doing, Mr. Pinckney? And I want to say congratulations to all the people of Benton Harbor that stood up and went out there and made that change. That's the beautiful victory. I listened to all your guests today, Dave, Ed, Dylan, and Belinda Brown, and Reverend Pinckney all spoke one major thing, that we have to come together to make change. They did it in Benton Harbor, and we have to do it in every community that needs it in America. I have Emmanuel Victor on the line also. That's Mr. Victor's son. And what I realized is that the politicians, they separated church and state for a reason. You know, that was to get rid of the moral responsibilities and principles, you know, and the decrees and commandments of God. And now everything is diluted and almost abandoned completely. I was reading part of Mr. Victor's case, and I looked at his trial to where they wanted him to go to trial on his Sabbath, which is a Saturday to him. And he spoke about, you know, his beliefs under the First Amendment, you know, which you have that right to lay up the freedom to believe and the freedom to act on your belief. Yet they forced him to trial without an attorney because he was representing himself. And he just sat there. And even though the day before, where the prosecutor informed the judge that, look, we don't even have these witnesses in line. I'm sorry, Your Honor. It's on us. They still forced it against him because they knew on the Sabbath, as he spoke to him, as he did motions and everything, that he wouldn't participate because that was his day of rest under God, who he trusts and believes in that he follows. And it was crucial. And no one came to his defense. You can ask Ms. Belinda Brown. She witnessed the whole trial, so she witnessed that travesty. And the main thing is that you had a man on trial and his wife on trial fighting for their lives, yet the main concern was getting the jurors home on Sunday to be with their family where they can worship their Sabbath day because they are the majority. And it was just a shame. And I read that, and I looked, and I'm like, man. And now I listen to everybody, and everybody has issues, and the main solvent to those issues is the people coming together like they did in Benton Harbor, taking a stand and making that change, getting rid of them politicians. Man, Mr. Victor is a beautiful man of God. He's incarcerated for something he didn't do. And although they went to trial all week long on a Saturday when they knew this was the Sabbath because they was put on notice, they found a way to destroy him. They found a way to go on with his trial without him just because they wasn't after justice. They was after destruction. They was after the right to destroy this man under the color of the law. It's a shame. That's why Mr. Victor has Amendment 28. Like we say, we have to get the politicians out and the people have to write their own laws. That's what Amendment 28 stands for, Mr. Pinckney. Anyone, all listeners, if you are alive, you go to Amendment 28 site.wordpress.com and read the amendment, read the treaty that's on there, sign the petition. Then we have the song Favor. Now, Mr. Pinckney, the song Favor is important. This is how we help Mr. Victor and we help fight this system and support Amendment 28 to get that passed. But first, we need the people, but yet we need revenues. And they can go on there and download the song Favor by Mr. Errol Victor, Reverend Errol Victor, on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. This is the way to help Mr. Victor and the way to help others, because it's not just about Mr. Victor, although it is, but it's about everybody else that's subjected to political imprisonment. I listen to Mr. Ed Billings and Mr. Anderson. I don't know if I'm going to be free by the time I talk to you again, because he already sees. He has a fight that he's willing to sacrifice for, just as Martin Luther King did. You know, they will imprison you to muffle you, yet the strength of your spirit that pushes you forward up under God cannot muffle you. Mr. Victor's fight is Amendment 28. It's for the people. All listeners, go on there. If you're alive, go on there and look at it. See the significance of it. See how many people it can help out. Download the song Favor. That's 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 99 cents. Download the song Favor at Spotify, Google Play, and iTunes. This is the way we start something here in Louisiana. We have 1,000 prisoners in Angola that signed a petition agreeing the feeling, the spiritual movement that the song Favor has. And it is great. It is something beautiful. For a man to sit in prison, to be ripped from his life, his family, his children, all his loved ones, and from his pursuit of betterment, because that's what Mr. Victor was doing. Mr. Victor always thinks about the people. He never thinks about himself, and that's why I love him. That's why I would take a bullet for Mr. Victor. I wouldn't put him on that balcony like they did Martin Luther King, no disrespect to that occurrence, that incident. Yet, I would take that bullet for Mr. Victor because as long as he is alive, his vision will be alive and he will move forward. And things will be greatly done on the behalf of the people. Any of me or my enemy, Mr. Pinckney, is a friend of mine. I am a friend of yours because your enemies are my enemies. Anyone that's against the better cause of our people, of the people in general, of America, are enemy to me. Those that want to destroy, tear down, take from the poor, and keep the poor poor while they get rich, because capitalism is everything. Trump shows us that. Trump ain't just racist. He might have been bred by that, yet Trump is about capitalism. He's about money. Anybody comes after him, he goes back after him. But he's about money, finances. What he doing? He's trying to put all the rich people in office. And what the rich people going to do, the crooked politicians, they're going to continue to make laws to benefit them, to take from the poor and for the rich to get richer. Mr. Victor
absolutely
is a political prisoner. You are a political prisoner. There are many.
Absolutely.
We need all
absolutely
listeners, Mr. Payton.
Hey, you know what I was thinking? How about is there any way we can get Mr. Victor to come on, and I want him to talk about what happened to him, how it happened. That's what I want him to do. I want him to come on and tell the audience, tell the people, and I want to put it out there that he's going to be on so people are tuning in and listen and figure out a way how they want him to help. And what we got to do, we got to tell the story. Anytime that, especially as a black man, you got to tell a story for them. I remember, like, I'm going to go back to when I was in prison. I told a story. Every time I spoke with someone, I told a story. I didn't tell them what I wanted them to do. I told them what to do. I told them this is what we have to do in order to make things happen. And I made sure that people understood the importance of standing together. And to me, that's more important. But listen, I only got about one more minute for you. Can you say, tell us in one minute how they can get in touch with you and download
Hello?
That song? Because you only got a minute, though.
All right.
Go ahead.
Amendment 28 is important, too. To sign a petition, go to Amendment 28. Uh-huh. site.wordpress.com. To download a song, you go to Google Play, iTunes, or Spotify. It's under Reverend Errol Victor. 99 cents, 2 minutes, that's all it takes. But that's what Mr. Victor needs for his fight for freedom and for the fight for others, because he was destroyed because of his pursuit of bettering his community, of building it. And they took him away to destroy his vision because he was taking money out of their pockets to build his people. So it was about destruction. He's in prison because he got in the way of those people making money. And that's what destroyed it.
Amen.
That's what he needs the help.
All right.
I'm listening.
That's all the time I give you on that for this week, but I want people to understand also that do what you can to help Mr. Victor. But here's what I want to tell people. Victories don't come easy. The victory that we had this week, not only with the income tax, but we're able to tax the corporations. We also had an opportunity to go to the Supreme Court. We're going to make them put up or shut up. It's just that simple. We're going to make them lie. That's how you do. You make them lie, and then you hold them to
Hello?
That lie, and then you have
Hello?
A leg to fight on. See, because we have to understand how important it is.
Yeah.
And I take my hat off to the people in the Harbor Tower. You know,
I mean,
when, you know, it was cold
Not
that
sure.
day.
I think so.
And usually when it's cold, we as African Americans, we don't do nothing. These folks went out there, and I am so proud of them. And I want to tell you that it was a major victory. We can get victory if we learn to work together. Don't worry about what color person is. Don't whatever his nationality is. Don't worry about whether he's tall or short, fat or skinny. Don't worry about them things. Worry about completing the mission. Nothing supersedes the mission. Remember that. I don't care what it is. Nothing supersedes the mission. If we can get that in our hands, we can win. Because I don't know what to do about this criminal justice system. But something got to be done. You know, and some of us might die. Some of us may have to die because of it. But the point is, we have to do what we can do. And remember, this country can't fight a guerrilla warfare. So let's stay focused, do what we need to do, and I really don't have any more time. Thank everybody for listening.
And I will be back next week, same time, same station. And if you want to speak on the show, just call me. It's just that simple. Because I want your message out there.